Hey everybody, thank you for watching. I hope you're having a good start to your week. I'm on the road building this new hour. This week, Spokane, Washington, the 20th through the 22nd, five shows at Spokane Comedy Club. Then I'm going to be in Portland, Maine, September 10th through the 12th at Empire Comedy Club. And then September 17th through the 19th, the place of my birth, Hartford, Connecticut. Hartford Funny Bone, doing five shows there, the 17th to the 19th. DanSoder.com for all live dates. Thank you for watching the podcast. I hope you enjoy this episode with Kevin and Jay from the Super Troopers. They were super fucking cool. You guys were at SummerSlam dressed in uniform.
Yeah.
Did you guys stay?
Well, I went both, like, because... We went out.
You know how to speak wrestling, fan.
I do.
You said the both nights thing.
Yeah, you went both nights.
All right.
And, I was like, what the fuck? I mean, we had like second row.
Yeah, you guys were in great seats.
We were in the back, like in the bowels, like hanging out with the wrestlers and meeting everybody. And
did you meet any wrestlers that you were surprised they knew who you were? I mean, everyone knows you guys.
I mean.
But like when you see someone like actually go like, oh, you're actually like a fan.
I think all of them, but like we were walking down the hall and we walked by Roman Reigns. He's like, dude.
Tribal chief.
Yeah. And we're like, hey, what's up? He goes, oh my God, I'm a big fan. And we're like, we're big fans.
That's crazy.
You know? Because and you're talking because he's also beautiful. I don't know if you ever met him in person.
I think I would melt.
I was gazing into his fucking eyes and I was like, you're fucking good looking, dude.
You're like if a panther was a man, but that I was sexually attracted to.
Yeah.
He's the guy that like, I think if you're an older guy into wrestling and you have a wife or a girlfriend, you show her him.
Yes.
And then it kind of, you just go like, so I'm just going to watch this? And she's like, yeah, whatever.
That's what my wife said yesterday. She's like, Roman Reigns is pretty hot. Because she had to watch because I was there.
Yeah.
So she's with my son. They're watching at home.
Does your son pop when he sees you on the TV?
Yeah. Well, in certain circumstances, like wrestling.
Yes.
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 Like, because you're in the crowd.
But like when we're in Good Morning America?
They just like panned and you guys were there.
Yeah.
And you chugged. Who didn't chug a beer? I saw.
One of the guys who shares your name, but in pronunciation only.
Yeah, Soder. I know.
He's,
shout out.
He is what I would call a very slow beer chugger.
Okay.
And so in a situation like that, he is exposed. And I was watching him, and, you know, when he finished, we all finished, and he put his hat over his beer and then had to carry it out of the stadium with the hat over the beer.
He could just pour it on the ground.
There were so many cameras, so many people looking.
And people were filming it.
And he got to the back, and I saw him take it off. I was like, sad, bro.
What I love about it is that's like an over 30-year friendship. So you have that ability to go like, you bitch.
Yeah,
but you didn't even
we
do it. Yeah. When they chug and they're like chugging like that, who runs anchor? Because, you know, obviously Beer Fest, but you don't know what's movie magic or not. Who out of the group of you can take down a beer the fastest?
He can. And I've known him since we were 18 and we started competing when we were 18. And you know, let's say we.
You're very good, though.
Thank you. I know. Thank you.
Can I tell you that's maturity that you accepted that that way? Because that like slap like that would fucking.
There's nothing I can do. Like, let's say we've competed 500 times. I'm 0-500.
Yeah.
Because you chug exactly as fast as you chug, and that's all.
That's it.
Yeah. I've thought about taking lessons of how to open my throat and suddenly spring it on him, and I've now exposed myself. I'm going to take lessons.
Well, you could. Like, we chugged against
I bet you would forget it. You saying this right now? You guys are on a press run?
You're probably right.
This is going to...
You're probably right.
It might not.
Take...
But we have to do a lot
remember
of
Remember me. Well, remember me.
Remember so.
Learn how to take in the beer.
Part of the reason I say that is because there was a guy at Barstool who went up against him and was like, boom!
Yeah, he was one of those...
Destroyed it.
Yeah,
and then I heard he gives lessons.
Okay.
And so I'm like, that lessons.
Is for money.
It is for money. It's also, it is a party trick that if you have any sort of competitive nature, is worth it. Because you go, if I can learn this one punch, you could take you out. And like he said, he can wait until the moment where you forgot about it. And you go, I've faced you 500 times.
Yeah. And then you get challenged. Like when we go, like the studio is like, you sure you want to chug? You're older now. fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, yeah, Chug.
You don't got it anymore, Rock.
Put me on. Put me on the camera.
Did you? Was that a problem when Beer Fest came out?
Yeah.
Was that like an actual...
It's still a problem.
It's a problem but, that... It's like the gunslingers, you know what I mean?
That's
it's
right.
They want to, you know.
Because Beer Fest came out when I was still in competition, and I was in competitive force, and I probably...
Okay.
If I would have... Ran across you guys, I would have smelled your butt and demanded a cup.
Yes. And we lose.
Of course.
But a lot, most of the time we win.
Most of the time,
people who challenge you are not as good as they think they are.
And also, that movie came out years ago, so a lot of people that you've lost to have perished to cirrhosis. you have lived on to compete another day.
That's what my dad said when we made that movie. He's like, you know... It's irresponsible. You're making this movie. You're going to make a lot of people, you know, alcoholics off this movie. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of violence in movies too.
What are you blaming? You're blaming the moon for werewolves?
Yeah. Okay.
How they got to worry about being a werewolf?
That's a great.
Yeah, there you go. I'm just full mooning right now.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, you had probably the most accurate scene I've ever seen of someone portraying blackout drunk. With the scene where you are eloquent and smooth and shit, and then it cuts and you got the...
Right, the asshole thing.
Yeah. That is the most... As an alcoholic, I can tell you that is, on film, the most accurate portrayal of how you feel when you're drunk, and you're like, I'm a charming motherfucker. And then it cuts back to you, and you're like, just kiss me.
You were like that last night, bro.
Yeah.
Did you guys stay for the whole, like, for Seth Roman?
I did. I stayed for came down. Yeah, you came out for it. Yeah. But I was there for every match.
How fun is wrestling?
I mean, I have a great time there. You know, it's like...
But people that don't like it, I even try to get him to go because I go, like, it's like bringing
He's
someone...
He's not a big wrestling guy.
Yeah, but it's like going to the theater.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it's sort of like... Cirque du Soleil and how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
Like the things they're doing, you're like, that's violent and real. And yes, I know it's choreographed, but boy, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
I mean, you see them doing that shit.
Well, you're also, when you're close to it, you guys are doing my wife's podcast tomorrow, Casuals, with Katie.
Okay.
And the first time I took her
In this apartment as
well? No, that's in a studio with real people in an office.
Do you live here with her, though?
Yeah, she lives here.
Okay.
So you've been, now you can go to an office and creep her out and say, I've been to your home.
Yeah. Where is she? Hey, babe, I got some guys coming over here. Yeah. It might get crazy.
I'm doing the thing. Mike's here with the cameras. Yeah. We're going to set up. And I've been jokingly calling podcast friendship porn for years. Because you really go sit on the couch.
Yeah.
Now let's act like you just wandered in here and we're having a conversation.
Yeah.
But when I took her to the first WWE event that I did, we were pretty close and she heard the ring, them hitting the ring, and she went like, whoa.
Yeah.
And she had been to a wrestling thing before, but that always gets people the first time.
Yeah.
And but there's like, also you hear them hit.
There's shit that happens like that. Did you watch?
Oh, yeah. I watched both nights.
So the Brock Lesnar fight.
Yeah.
Like
Hell in a Cell. Yeah. Shout out.
And I've watched wrestling forever.
Yeah.
I have never seen them rip the mat up.
It's great.
Have you ever seen that before?
Yeah. That's a classic spot that they did in his old rivalry with Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano.
Okay.
Where they do it. They also do it in indie wrestling.
Yeah.
It's an old school move that goes back to the 80s where they basically like will go to the ring and then
expose the wood.
Yeah. In the WWF back in like the 80s, they used to do this thing. Remember the blue mats that were like all around the ring? They would move the blue mats and either Gorilla Monsoon or Vince McMahon would go, that's exposed concrete.
Right.
And they would do like, that was when you really wanted to hurt a motherfucker.
Yeah.
If you did like a pile driver, which obviously their head is protected in their legs. And then and then they drop him on it, and then 7-year-old me is like, he's fucking dead.
He broke his neck.
Yeah.
But then sometimes they do break their neck, like Kevin Owens.
And who's back?
Who came back last night. Well, that's what it was for us. Like, we were told our stuff was going to be branded, and we're going to appear at the end of Sami Zayn's match.
Sure.
And we're like, okay, great. And, they're like, there's going to be a surprise.
Two surprises. Guests.
Yeah. They're going to be surprised. But the only one was one. And they're like, can you guess who it is? And I was like, Kevin Owens. And they're like, no.
That's
it's not
so
Kevin
funny.
Owens. It's not Kevin Owens.
That's like you guessed
he broke his neck.
Yeah.
You know? And then.
Is that what they said to you?
Well, they said that. Yeah, they said no. Yeah. And then one of our friends, Eric, is kind of friendly with Kevin. And he texted him. He's like, are you going to be at SummerSlam? He's like, no, man. I broke my neck, man. I've been out for a year and a half.
It's lies. It's all lies.
And then it was like, hey, Kevin, everyone was fucking crazy. But what they did is they took our mat. We had like the second, Sami Zayn was supposed to be like the second to last match or whatever, and they put it first.
Sure.
Because they ended up realizing they had Kevin Owens coming back and
Gunther and all wrestling.
So they put it first.
Yeah, that was a
That was very exciting to be in that arena.
I was worried.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you knew he broke his neck.
I knew he broke his neck, and you could see that the neck was under immense pressure. Like, you could see it. Yeah. You're like, this is not a good, this is too soon.
They did a move, but by the way, that's what I love about wrestling, is because they did a move where Sami Zayn took Kevin Owens, and then he thought he hurt him, and he went over there and was like, did I hurt you?
Yeah.
And that's what I love, because you know, I would be concerned about my friend, too.
Yeah, and they're old friends.
They're best friends. They've had
an
unbelievable rivalry. Yeah. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are Hall of Fame wrestlers, especially their rivalry is Hall of Fame. So to have that spot where he gets injured on his neck and you go like, I was at home on this very couch watching going, oh no,
his neck.
So it worked.
But the great thing from our perspective was like, you guys are going out on that match. And we were like, knew everybody was watching the Kevin Owens thing.
Because it's the first, and also smart booking. Yeah. They took the biggest, like, they didn't want to put that in the middle.
No.
They didn't want to put that
second. Which is where it was.
Yeah. Because the last match that Brock, Oba, that was night one.
The last one was Seth and Roman.
You didn't want to go like before, because that's like, that match was so long, it got people into
it. But I think it was funny because you're there and they were ahead of schedule. So you're backstage, you're like, we're ahead of schedule. And so you know that they have to vamp, right? Like that Seth and Roman have to go out and expand the time.
That was a long match.
It started at like, you know, with like 40 minutes left in the program.
And they're like, go 40. Yeah. And you're like,
And like, so, you know, primp and, you know, pose.
Because you guys started his sketch and then you guys went into traveling. Did any of you guys ever try stand up?
We did.
I started stand up when I was 19. Okay. And I still do stand up.
Yeah, hell yeah. So you know that moment where they're like, extend and you're like, brother, I don't got it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Start telling jokes.
That's
slower.
The joke.
You go, anybody on the app?
Yeah.
But
take a long pull off your beard.
Yeah. You know? But the thing that I always think is funny is that wrestlers have to do that. It's like when one of you guys are personally talking to him.
Yeah.
He's like, dude, my neck is injured. Yeah. And that's like me going to a comedy club being like, you doing a set? And I go, I'm fighting with my wife. I'm in a fight. So I go there and I go, I was in a fight with my wife. No, he actually lives there. Yeah, I know that's a real thing. That is cool though. Like when you guys are in uniform as Super Troopers, is there ever a moment where you feel like, let's go fuck with some people? Let's take a cruiser and actually go. If I got pulled over by the Super Troopers, that would be such a moment where I'm like, fuck, hiding shit. Yeah. And then I'm like, fuck. And then it's you guys. I'd be like, oh, that should be the promotion. You guys should set up a speed trap.
One of the guys, Eric,
When we were shooting the first one,
we didn't have that much money. We didn't have enough money for like a transportation department. So we had to drive the actual police cars back to the motel.
Yeah.
And he was still in uniform. He got in. There was a little bit of traffic. He flipped the lights. He hit the siren.
Yes.
Everybody in New York State pulled over for this Vermont highway patrolman.
Right.
And he just woof all the way back. And then we were back at our motel, you know, smoking weed and drinking whatever.
Really shitty motel.
And New York State patrolman shows up, and he's like, oh, my God. And he hides under the bed.
That's really funny.
And I'm talking to the cops because I'm like the boss.
Police officer.
And he's like, one of your men is impersonating a police officer. And I was like, oh, boy. You know, and he said, is there? And I'm like, you know, and basically the guy's like, you tell him if he does that again, I'm going to come arrest him myself.
Jeez. But he literally hid under the bed.
He hid under the bed.
It was hysterical.
What does it look like? Because that's before the first one comes out, right?
Yeah.
So cops are like, fuck you. Don't ever fucking do that. You're playing with some real fire here, mister. But then Super Troopers comes out, and I would say, in a way, if I'm a cop, I love that movie. Because you go, this is me and my buddies. Yeah. This is how we are. Yeah. We're fucking like, fun.
I was with a friend of mine who just went sober, and so we were going to this Forgetting Sarah Marshall premiere.
Great movie.
I took him to that thing, and he's like, he goes, when we were about to go to the party after. Sure. And so we're on Sunset Boulevard. And he goes, let's smoke a joint before we go to the party. I said, I thought you were sober. He goes, I can do this.
California sober.
And I'm whatever. And so we light a joint, and we go by the hotel where there's all this paparazzi out front. And he pulls a U-turn on Sunset. The one thing you know in L.A. is never pull a U-turn on Sunset.
Is that the rule?
That's the rule.
Visiting people. People of the Listening News Podcast.
Yes.
Never flip a bitch on Sunset.
We were lit up, boom, right that. And there's smoke swirling in the car.
Oh my God.
We're right next to this huge paparazzi line.
Whoa.
And I'm like, oh my God. Like, we had made Beer Fest at that point. I'm like, this is all I need. This is all I fucking need. So I'm kind of keeping my face away from, he's
where
driving.
Are you in the passenger seat?
I'm in the passenger seat. He's parked. The cop comes, kind of taps on the window. He rolls it down. You can see these things swirling in the car. And he looks at him. He goes, you can't pull a U-turn on Sunset. And he looks at me. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, sir. You have a good evening. And I was like, whoa.
That's fucking unbelievable. Artists of the world, make stuff that humanizes cops.
That's what it is.
You'll never be in trouble.
Get a jail-free card.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna do a firefighter movie so that my shit never burns down.
It's having all of us.
Cash App. Talking Cash App. Hey, in the age of apps being on your phone that you give and can receive money on, check out Cash App, especially if you're worried about the security. Because if you weren't up to speed, Cash App is way more than just a safe way to send and receive money. With the Cash App card, you unlock a ton of perks. You get stuff like early access to nationwide concerts, discounts on everyday purchases. Plus, Cash App adds security to your money by declining suspicious card transactions and sending you notifications to make sure that the payment that you sent is really you. If it's ever lost, if your card is ever lost or stolen, you can lock it up with just one tap right in the app. So spend with confidence with the Cash App card today. Cash App's got a bunch of other uses too. It can do more than you think. If you direct deposit at least $300 in paychecks each month and use the Cash App card for purchases, you can earn interest on your savings. No hidden fees, no minimum balance requirements. Cash App is a financial services platform, not a bank. Banking services provided by Cash App's banking partners. Prepaid debit cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. Cash App Visa. Debit Flex cards issued by Sutton Bank, member FDIC. And the Bank Corp. North America, pursuant to license for Visa USA Incorporated. See terms and conditions. The Sutton Prepaid Card, Sutton Debit Flex Card, and Bancorp Debit Flex Card. Cash App. Green features savings, direct deposit roundups, overdraft coverage, and discounts provided by Cash App, a Block Incorporated brand. Visit cash.app/legal/podcast for full disclosures. Listen, as we get older, you got to start worrying about stuff like, you know, owning a home if you can, or like life insurance. That's a big one. Because if something happens, I want to make sure Kath is taken care of. But who helps you find life insurance? Well, Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy. 100% online. You can get quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions. You can get up to $3 million in coverage. Some policies are as low as $30 a month, and you'll get your lowest rate from their network of trusted carriers. Take 10 minutes to get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Get your free quote at ethos.com/soder. That's ethos.com/soder. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. Trustpilot rating as of 6/1/2025. Because I love the story of Broken Lizard. Everything you guys have made is fucking funny. And what I like about it is, in this world of corporification, of people making, matching, and making forced things, you go, these guys are fucking boys, and they've been making shit for 30 years. This shit rules. It's what I love. It's what I love watching, where I go, oh, the jokes are like, because I tried to watch the movie, but Disney was like, hey, you have to go through 7 different things and give us your social security. Yeah. It was crazy to the point that I was like, I can't. Yeah. There was a DocuSign moment where I went, I got to tell the guys. And I go, I'm going to watch it in theaters.
Okay. So August 7th. See with an audience.
August 7th. Yeah, yeah. And that's, but what I love about it is, why I was mad about it is because everything from Club Dread to fucking Beer, everything Beer Fest, Super Troopers 2, you could, there's that spirit of like, you guys are friends. How it looks like it's something that's fun to watch, but that you also go like, you know when you have like a good bakery and you go, they made this with love. There's just like that feeling. Like you guys can just, it's a mom and pop's store. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you go, there isn't a guy coming in that's like, I think this one, Farva gets married. And you go, they probably had that idea and they wanted to make this idea. Yeah. And it's like, that's what I fucking love about it.
Yeah, no, I think that's why the fans like, or wherever we have fans, is that you're, we're a group of friends hanging out, and it makes people feel like they can hang out with you and have some laughs.
That's all everyone wants.
That's genuine.
But by the way, I would argue that's what Trey Parker and Matt Stone have.
Yes.
Yeah, I would argue that's what the Simpsons had for years. Yeah, now it's like weird. Yeah. Now it's like the Simpsons are in a polygamy thing where, you know, I don't know who any of these people are. But it's just that feeling of like you want something that like, I think that's why podcasts do so well, is because people get to know people and they know their senses of humor and they go, well, I'm enjoying this with them. This is my buddy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is like, I think you guys are one
of the... pure.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think you guys are like, especially in a business that's so fucking phony, you guys are the only like, oh, you guys are some of the OG, like they made the Wayans family, but they're family.
Yeah.
It was fun seeing Scary Movie come back.
Yeah.
Because you go, oh, that's the, like a band's back together.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You guys are just like a band that's been playing and you that's go right. like, fuck yeah, new album.
But you can also see just where the idea, you know, the ideas come from. And I feel like, that this movie, the whole idea was we were sitting around and everyone was like, what if Favreau was fucking your sister?
Worst like, case scenario. Hey, nightmare.
Yeah. And you start joking about it, you know? And then I was like, oh, what if he was fucking your sister? And then all of a sudden, then you start riffing on where the idea comes from. And that's the way guys come up with ideas anyway.
That's how, by the way, that's like the most fun part because you're just going like, oh, would you be mad about that? just like, fuck you.
And the other guys, would we try to stop it? No way. We would try to see what happens, push it as far as we could.
Yeah, friends don't want to make you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Friends are there to help you. Friends are there to comfort you when you're in pain and to make you feel uncomfortable when you're comfortable.
Yeah. The house of pain.
Yeah.
That's right.
And that, I mean, how many times have you heard Leader of Cola to the point, do you have to do like the porn thing where you go,
you know, all the time
comes with territory,
yeah. Like, we were walking out of a bar, last night, and there's some group of dudes in the corner, and they're like, Leader of Cola, give me a Leader of Cola. Yeah. And they're like, sorry, bro, I'm all out, whatever the line is.
Do you have like a Rolodex and know,
Well,
now the movie company has made a thing in the theater where you can buy a liter of cola.
That's so
They got like popcorn buckets and a liter of cola.
I was telling him last night, I'm like, you know, we started this little independent film, went to Sundance, and now we're at the wrestling thing in uniform, and it feels like we're in Rocky III now.
That's fun. That's funny. Yeah, your Thunder Lips, dude.
You guys are showing up.
You guys finally got to be your Thunder Lips moment.
Yeah. Yep.
I think wrestling really is a good indicator of where you're at in pop culture. Because what it is they're trying to buckshot.
Yeah.
They're trying to get everybody they can.
Yeah.
So when you're so popular that they're like, hey, can you dress up in character for our characters?
Yeah.
Because
that's why I didn't
fun.
Feel weird about it. Because like you're walking around and all these fucking dudes are like, Danhausen's walking around with the freaking makeup on, and like we're in our outfits and they're in their outfits.
It's the only place I'll wear sunglasses inside.
That's a good rule. That is a really good rule. You go, I don't feel like an asshole if I'm wearing sunglasses inside at a wrestling event. Yeah, this guy's covered in body glitter and he thinks he's dead. There's like, that's what's funny about wrestling is you go, you can't take yourself too seriously.
The only weird thing, I don't know if you found this, but there were so many real cops there and like the sheriff department or whatever, and you'd be back, you know, backstage, and they would want to take pictures with you.
That's fun.
And so we took a shitload of pictures of us with like real sheriffs, and then I felt like a nerd.
Yeah.
Then I felt like a dork, like, I'm in my cop outfit.
You go. Yeah. My cop's outfit's not real like yours.
Yeah. But like taking pictures of CM Punk, that was cool. He was in his outfit. We were in our outfit.
That is fun. Was there anyone that you didn't get to meet that you wanted to meet?
No, the guy I really wanted to meet, and we did meet, was Brock Lesnar.
The man.
And so, the funny thing was he...
At the hotel bar.
So he...
Even better.
It was his last match, right? So he kind of had a bunch of friends there and it was a kind of retirement thing. And so he allegedly, I don't know if this made it out or whatever, but he allegedly got hurt in that. He got hurt in that match.
From the one from SummerSlam?
Yeah, from the cage match. Like he got... You know, whether it was a arm, something got hurt.
Well, it's really funny because you talked about the spot where they pulled up the wood, right?
Then
he hit Oba Femi with his, and then Oba kicked out.
Right.
And then it was Brock's turn.
Yeah.
And what's funny is where you watch him take the move, it's not on the wood.
Yeah.
It's on the side.
It's
on the protected part of the ring.
Yeah.
And immediately you saw that and you go, I wonder if that's him going, brother, I'm not doing that.
It might be. It might have been. But
you're going to do me, put me on the padded part.
I mean, he was meant to lose because it was like passing the torch.
Yeah.
But, you know, So there was like these rumors, you know, he was really hurt, whatever. Somebody said, I think he was hurt. So we saw him in the bar and he was like, hey, Super Troopers, you know, which is cool.
Great.
Because he's terrifying. And he's like, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, man, I heard you got hurt in that match. He goes, no, I didn't. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I just heard somebody say, I didn't get hurt. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Like I said to him, he immediately was like, shot it down. He's like, I didn't get hurt.
Yeah, that
like,
is the thing like, where fuck. You go, fuck yeah. me, dude.
I just kid, man.
Just piss is running in your pants. And you go, yeah. I'm so sorry. You're real. You're like a real life grizzly bear. Yeah.
And then he's like, want to take a picture? And I'm like, yeah, let's take a picture.
Yeah, because he is a guy where I would say, like, you know, a lot, all wrestlers are tough.
Yeah.
But Brock's a guy where he was like, well, I'm actually the toughest guy in the world.
Yeah.
Like I went to UFC and won the heavyweight championship.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a guy that I think trying to joke around with, if it went like
he
that.
He looks terrifying, but he's got a sense of humor, I guess. Yeah. I mean, we kind of talked to him a little bit, you know, we had a good conversation.
Did he have fun. That moment where he's like, oh, yeah, and you feel like, that paw on your back, and you go, oh, that used to punch that so punches people.
Or like, you know, you put your arm around him for the picture, and you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, dude. There's videos of him from back before when he was younger, giving people what they call in the wrestling business receipts.
Yeah.
So like if a guy hurts him, he'll give them one to be like, yo, you hurt me.
Right.
And they're crazy. They come up on my feed and I go like, I would in the middle of the match just constantly be like, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Are you mad at me? Yeah. Are you mad? Because you see him like, he gets kneed and then he's like, and he punches the guy and you're like, yo, that's real.
Yeah.
Yo, that's real.
Yeah.
There is, I mean, there is like, when you guys are filming in upstate New York and stuff, and obviously now it's big budget. You got a transportation department and all that stuff. Are there people that still get confused by the cop cars and shit?
Yeah.
People driving through?
One funny thing is like a couple weeks ago, we did a thing with Limp Bizkit.
Hell yeah.
So Fred Durst was like, let's, you know, he's a fan. He's like, come to the concert, come out in uniform, and we'll do a bit, you know, on stage, whatever. You know, you pretend to shut down the concert. So we went to the concert. It was in Chicago, like out in this outdoor, you know, fairground. There was like 25,000 people there. And we walked out, you know, we set up, we'll go out, we'll shut down the thing, we'll pull some weed off you and some coke off you and whatever. This thing is shut down. And then we burst into Break Stuff.
Right? Great. Oh,
and
my God.
And we all dance and sing Break Stuff together.
The description alone is making me want to run through a wall.
It was great.
If Super Troopers showed up and then it was...
It was great.
Oh my God.
And so like we set this whole thing up and went on stage and people didn't get it. Like they thought
we were cops. There's a noise complaint. We have to shut this concert down.
Yeah. And like people didn't recognize it. And they started fucking screaming like, fuck you. Like vitriol. Like, fuck you, cops.
It was awesome.
You guys turned it into Woodstock 99.
Yeah. And so then like Fred's like, hey, it's the Super Troopers, you know, whatever. And people still didn't get it. And they're like, fuck you guys. And I think even right to the point where we were dancing around doing Break Stuff,
and
there's probably like
a huge poster up. Yeah,
there's probably like 25 people in the front who were still fucking furious.
That's so...
That they didn't get it.
What's fun about that is, and what's fun about the people that missed it, and if they didn't even ever realize it was Super Troopers, they go, dude, the cops like jammed out with Limp Bizkit.
They danced, like, they sang.
They like knew all the lyrics.
We had dildos.
We pulled dildos on Fred Durst. So I was like, who dildos is this? And then dancing with dildos. You're like, what the fuck?
People always, to me as a lifelong wrestling fan, they go, it's fake. And you go, yeah, I know. But imagine if you didn't. How cool that would be.
Yeah.
And that's like that, where they go, these cops came out and Limp Bizkit rocked so hard. These guys were dancing with dildos and fucking bags
cocaine.
Of coke.
It was ridiculous.
These guys are fucking nuts. Factor Meals, baby. Listen, I timed it all out wrong and I started getting in shape during the summer. I know you're supposed to get in shape during the spring so you could show it off in the summer, but it was the shame of me being at Big J's pool with my shirt off that I said, why don't I start cleaning up my meals? And why don't I use Factor Meals to do it? Factor Meal are meals that are chef-crafted, dietitian-designed, ready to eat, so you don't have to choose between real food and convenience. With over 175 banned ingredients, every Factor meal is designed around what supports a healthier lifestyle. and nothing that doesn't. Every week, you're going to find over 100 nutrient-dense menu items to choose from, with new options like salmon burgers, shredded pork, collard greens, and more. Plus, add-ons. You'll crave the pumpkin-flavored cheesecakes and protein shakes. 90% of users agree that Factor meals help them live a healthier life, so you can feel confident that you're doing something good for yourself with every meal. Let's eat real. Head to factormeals.com/soder50off. Use the code soder50off to get 50% off and one free breakfast item per box for 1 year while supplies last until Halloween 2026, which is October 31st, 2026, just in case you don't recognize the holiday. That's code soder50off at factormeals.com. Soder50off at factormeals.com. See website for more details. ZocDoc! Hey, this is a real story. You know, I want to thank ZocDoc for sponsoring the podcast, but I have had nasty feet for a while. Very ashamed of them. Katie and I went on a trip and I was like, dude, my feet are so gross. I got to do something. So you know what I did? I went to ZocDoc on my app, looked up a podiatrist, found one with an appointment 3 days later, went and saw her, shout out Dr. Fu, got me cleaning up my feet, got me new insoles. So now I'm walking with confidence. And that's the whole point of ZocDoc. I needed to see someone. They had someone in my network by me with an open appointment. Bang, bang, boom. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors. They got more than 150,000 providers with 200-plus specialties across all 50 states. Appointments happen fast, usually within 24 to 72 hours, and you can even score same-day appointments. ZocDoc, free to use. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/soder to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/soder. With your kids, do you worry about like them watching stuff too young, or like them like getting to the age where maybe they want to watch stuff where you make jokes like beer, you know, beer fest? And
yeah. Our kids are older now, so like they're,
yeah, I mean,
you know, college
now you can
age.
Let it rip.
Yeah.
No, I you know, like I watched those movies, Animal House, all those things that sure. When I was 10, you know, whatever, yeah. It's fine.
Do you have kids or no?
No. Okay. What is the age do you think that you started to be like 8 years old? You go, if they watch Super Troopers?
That's too young, probably.
Probably too young, but it happens. It happens. We'll have people bring, you know, walk up to you with their kid who's like 8, like, hey, we watched it together. And you're like, oh.
Is there ever a thing where you go?
Yeah. You sure about that? I mean, whatever. Like, the thing is, it's not like violent. It's sure. Like tits and language.
That was always my dad's excuse. My parents were divorced. Yeah. My dad's thing always to my mom when she found out that I watched rated R movies is he's like, it was a comedy.
Yeah.
He's like, it was fucking Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's not watching anything violent.
And he'll always remember it.
And the idea is quaint now when you have these phones with this deep porn all over it.
It's also like, not only people, obviously the porn should be a thing they talk about, but the thing that I always think about is like, these motherfuckers are coming back with like Vietnam level PTSD from just scrolling a feed. You're watching a guy's head get kicked in or a car burn, and they're like, and then they're coming back and they're like, I learned math today. But they got a fucking helmet on with sun oil and a pack of Marlboro Reds. It's like they're coming back completely. You're like, don't look at your phone. It's fucking crazy. Because it was watching a movie from Blockbuster, watching like Boomerang when I was like 9, which is way too mature.
Yeah.
But I watch it. I don't get most of it. But then I get some of it.
Yeah.
And I go, it's like learning a new language.
Yeah.
You know, I understood a little bit.
Yeah, and you remember that shit.
Yeah.
But also the other thing, like I remember watching Jaws when I was a kid, and it was devastating to me. Like, I wouldn't go in the ocean or whatever it was. Now, like, I watch it with my kids, and they're like, you know.
Yeah.
Dude, there's 100 times worse stuff on Shark Week.
You know, isn't that funny to think?
Yeah, they're like, that movie sucked. You know, like.
You show Jaws on Shark Week, they go, cute.
Yeah, who cares?
What is this, Eskimo kissing?
You don't even see the shark.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I want to see the teeth mark in the leg.
Yeah, I want to see the flesh where they get ripped.
Yeah, where they show the actual leg with the junk out.
I want the seal to go up in the fucking air and then come back down again.
Yeah, that is funny because National Geographic was kind of like, they probably had to be like, Jaws came out and they're like, that's bitch shit. Watch what
check
we got.
This out.
Jacques Cousteau is like, amateurs. But now it's just... It's everybody being like, I mean, what's great about it is, and this is, you guys were the blueprint for a lot of people that want to go make shit with their friends.
Yeah.
Because you are the evidence that, like, you make funny shit, an untalented corporate exec that doesn't know will go, well, people really respond to this.
Yeah.
And they have the bank account.
Yeah.
And then you get to make cool shit. What's your guys' favorite movie to make? Just the actual making.
Club Dread. Because we were down there. We had,
where did you film?
From Mexico.
We were on the west coast of Mexico.
Like Cabo?
Farther down. Like it was Manzanillo, technically.
South of Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Damn.
And it was the president, Vicente Fox, had built one six-star resort. It was six stars. The only six-star resort in Mexico. And it was basically for his friends and family. And then eventually,
like Mick Jagger,
four
and Bill
seasons,
Clinton, you'd
see took it over. But when we were there, we had the whole thing. And
it was like hurricane season and they kind of like shut it down. And so we were able to go down there and take the place over.
Was that a negotiation?
Yes.
Of them going like, you want this resort?
Yes.
Well, guess what? If the gods allow it.
Well, that's what they said. They're like, if you shoot during hurricane season, you can have it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they said to us.
Did you have to have a group meeting?
Well, no. I was like, fuck yeah. This place is we went to it. We're like, this place is fucking awesome. Like,
but then they go, so here's the catch.
Yeah, here's the deal.
Nothing happened.
But nothing happened.
That's
never, it maybe rained one night.
Yeah, there were two 18-hole golf courses that we were the only ones who played it.
Yeah.
So it was some stuff. And they're on the ocean. Yeah. It's
how long did you have it?
Four months, right?
We were there.
Probably
close to four. Yeah.
Did you want to rush through filming so that you could go like, we're still filming?
Oh, dude.
And you're just hanging out.
We would finish shooting and like you'd hang out on the beach and like, you know, you'd just be sitting there watching this. The whole crew would be like in the ocean. Just
every day,
out.
The whole crew was in
great.
The ocean.
Could you imagine going from like
so great
Club Dread to like Law and Order where you're just in New York City in August and it's just hot concrete.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, you just got to do that. Because that is like... That's fucking
unreal. Yeah, that was the plan, really. Because like we were like, oh, we shot Super Troopers in Poughkeepsie, New York, and it was wonderful.
Shout out Poughkeepsie.
But and we're like, God, like fucking Magnum PI writes this show in Hawaii, and then he gets to go hang out in Hawaii. Why don't you write a show or a movie where you can go hang out where you want to hang out? So he wrote this thing in a resort, in a tropical resort, and then they fucking paid for it.
So when you're like, you write it, obviously you write it and you go, well, we have to film this at a resort. Let's start doing this. How does the idea go where they go, like, does the studio call you and go, we might be able to get this six-star resort?
No, we went scouting in Mexico.
Like you hire a guy.
How fun is that scouting?
It was great. We went to every resort down the coast of Mexico.
It's just like you guys have all these umbrellas behind your ears.
Yeah, where it's ridiculous.
Like, I think I need to go for another week. That shiatsu massage didn't do what it said it was.
And you had all the restaurants.
You get on boats and you're cruising around from one resort to the other. Like, what about that one? Like, okay, let's go look at that one.
Yes.
It was great.
And then you guys saw this and you're like, it's perfect.
Yeah, and they're like, there's no way you're going to afford it. Like they said, there's no way you can pay for it.
Yeah.
And then we negotiated the hurricane deal.
Yeah, because they're going like, we don't make any money.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, for people at home, if you don't have a fear of hurricanes, start looking into going to these resorts.
It was also
because that was my first thought immediately was like, I might take Katie to a six-star resort in the middle of an F5.
You should take her down there because it's a great place.
It's
fabulous. Hold my hand, little one. She's just floating away. Yeah. That is, I mean, like leaving
the devil.
When you guys were rapping, were you like, fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. We were also like a lot of us were single and there were all these people around. It was just, it was special.
It was just the perfect time of your life.
It was perfect.
It was a good time.
It's just like the way that timing.
Yeah.
Like when you guys started like doing sketches and shit, and it was at Dartmouth, right?
Colgate.
I know, in New York. When you guys were at Colgate, were there people that were like even mutual friends, like this shit ain't gonna work?
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Really? I love that. Because I have friends that are on super successful podcasts that I remember when they started, they're like, this isn't going to be anything. And now it's like, now you own homes.
Yeah. It's I went to law school instead.
Really?
Yeah. We moved here.
When we graduated.
It's not happening.
Did they pull you, and they pulled you out?
Well,
you
guys, we kept, I went to law school here in New York, and we kept performing at night or whatever. And it was kind of like the week I graduated was we were going off to shoot our first feature film.
No fucking way.
And I said to my dad, I'm not going to take the bar exam. I'm going to go make this movie.
What did he say?
He said, Kev, you do not take the ball down to the goal line and not cross into the end zone.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, I get it, but I'll take the bar exam. But yeah. I'm going to go make this movie first.
And did you have that moment where he was like, I was wrong?
Well, because what we did is we learned to put our parents in the movies. So my parents are the chicken fuckers in Super Troopers. Like the couple in the van, I walk up to him. I was like, Dad. And he's like a judge, like a very kind of like proper guy. Yeah. And it's like, you're going to be in this van and I'm going to come run up to the van and I'm going to call you a chicken fucker. And I'm going to do it like 20 times.
Yeah, how great does that?
And we did it. And he was like into it. And then like many years later, we were in a restaurant. And me and him, my mom, and some guy came up to us. And he's like, hey, he pointed at my dad, you're the chicken fucker.
Yeah.
And he walked away. And my dad was like, I was a judge for 32 years. And now I'm going to be known as the chicken fucker.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That is so fucking funny that he's like, well, Kev, you fucking did it.
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking made me a chicken fucker.
Yeah.
But I think that's like, you know, that's a good advice for all comedians. Involve your parents as early as you can, because then they won't get mad at you.
Yeah, we co-opted them.
Yeah, they you kind of realize it's almost similar to like the mafia.
Yeah.
Where you go, you like that coat I bought you? That was dirty money. So now we're in this
that's
together.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. That's how I got with my mom, because my mom was like, you know, I had some jokes about her. And then when I did Conan, I was like, hey, I got some jokes or whatever. Yeah, but Christmas presents are going to be better this year. And she was fine. She was like, I think because it was so early in my stand-up career that I was like, hey, I do jokes about you.
Yeah.
That now... I just, when we filmed the Netflix special last month, I had other family there that I was worried about.
Yeah.
And for her, it was old hat.
Well, she goes and tells her that, you know, that joke, that's about me.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's proud of it. Right?
And there are jokes where she'll go, it's not completely true. She like, gives the real version. Right. She goes, a little of that.
She puts it in context.
A little of that.
My wife says to her friends, she goes, he has a fictional wife in his stand-up act that apparently loves anal.
That's really funny. That's really funny. Because, I mean, and you know that when you do a joke about her, there's moments where you write jokes about your significant other, and then you come home, and it's like, I don't cheat, but I write, so I have to, like, come home and go,
accept it.
I did it again. I wrote about a thing that you said. The crowd laughed.
It killed.
There was a thing where... It was on my last special where during COVID, I was watching porn on my phone and she had the Bluetooth in the shower and the volume went onto the Bluetooth.
Right.
So I had the whole bit about finding out why the phone wasn't getting volume and she's listening to it. And when it actually happened,
because
it really happened, when I found out, I like went in the bedroom. It was our old place in Jersey, and I just like waited for her to come out of the bathroom, like, and she came out and very like lady drying her hair, and she goes, "I don't want to fucking talk to you right now. I don't want to fucking talk to you." And then I was like, "I was opening an email, and I don't know what it was." I like gave an excuse, and then she was mad about it. And then I remember like 3 weeks or 4 weeks later, I'm chilling on the couch in the living room, and she just comes out of the office, and she goes, I think you should tell that story now. That is really funny.
I'm ready for
it. And then it worked, and I got it to work as a bit.
Yeah.
And then the big one was in Boston when her parents came out. Because I was like, so I'm going to do the bit. And she goes, I'm sitting with my dad.
Yeah.
And I have to watch him, watch you talk about watching porn and me finding out. But it was great.
Yeah.
Then once we were over the parent hump, she was totally, you know, like fine about it.
Yeah.
It's also hard to replace that 10 minutes just because the dad's there, right?
I mean, what am I going to do?
It was only 1 minute and then it became 10 minutes.
And it really is a thing where you're like, hey, but as your family, you know, as you know, with stand up in the movies, as your family goes on, they kind of learn of like,
this is what they do. It happened to me in Super Troopers 1. Like I'm naked. I show my dick.
Yeah.
It's powdered sugar scene. So I show my dick.
Sorry, bro.
And so... Like, I knew
not really
that my wife's No, you're not sorry.
You're not sorry. You're not sorry.
I remember the first time my wife watched the movie in the theater. It was in Boston, and we were up there, and she was sitting next to her dad, and we were kind of standing in the back, and I was like, and you know, they didn't. That was earlier in our relationship. They didn't really know. I mean, they, you know,
were you guys what I married did. And,
I think we had just gotten married. Sure, we were married like within like 6 months because the movie came out right around then. And so, but I watched, like I stood off to the wings and I watched him watch my dick scene. And he just went like this. And oh my God. Something like this. I saw him put his head in his hands. And I was like, ah. Oh. And then afterwards, you know, you got a joke about it. You're like, you know.
What did you say?
How'd you like that? It was interesting. It was interesting.
Oh, interesting is great.
Yeah.
Well, at least I know you're not hurting my daughter.
Yeah.
Like if you just had one to come back at it with.
Yeah.
Well, I know my little girl's all right.
Yeah. I guess she likes you for your personality.
That is, though, just standing there watching it, and you're like, oh, fuck, you're about to see my dick.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't. I'll never.
But that was a stand-up bit I ended up doing was that, you know, we... George Bush at some point asked for a print of Super Troopers, right, to watch at the White House. And in my mind, I'm like, holy shit, George Bush is looking at my dick.
That is
and then
crazy.
It ended up being a bit where it's like every teacher that my kids ever had has seen my dick.
Oh, my God.
And every blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so,
you know, think about that.
Once you show your dick,
because they go, you know, I grew up with one of the guys in Super Troopers, and then they're watching it, and they go, that's Kevin Spacey. Or he's just immediately seeing it. They go, I didn't think I was going to see it.
Once you saw it, the world.
Yeah, that is...
nothing you can do.
Are you done with your full frontal nudity, as you guys think?
I have full reverse nudity in this one.
He's got some.
I even have a worse. It's a worse shot. Stuff,
what is the shot?
It's from. I would have known, behind.
I would have known, but I would have had to have done an ocular scan.
It's a tribute to Donald Sutherland in Animal House,
and Django.
Honestly, August 7th, Super Troopers 3.
But that was the other thing is that we had a screening in L.A. Last week. We had the same doctor, and he came to the screening. You know, as a friend to watch the movie, and I realized that. He's probably, I mean, not my wife, he's probably the only guy who's ever seen
that particular,
angle of me. He was laughing his ass off.
That's so funny because you shot it well.
Yeah.
I usually have better lighting. I'm there for more of a medical reason.
Yeah.
I, with comedy especially, you never think about the people in your lives that are there for the non-comedic moments.
Right.
That then are there for the comedic moments where you go, I know this is fun.
Yeah.
I see that asshole in a very serious light.
Yes.
It's the first time I've seen it in a fun light.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's kind of funny.
Has there ever been a moment where you guys are writing a movie and you put full frontal into fuck with one another?
Oh, like, yeah. No, that was the intention. Like, after he did it to me, right?
Yeah, he was like, because we had a debate when, so what happened was, you know, he's covered in powdered sugar.
Sure.
And... you know, he was out there on the set, and we were throwing powdered sugar from the sky. I had people doing it, right? Crew guys doing it.
I got guys.
And I was watching on the monitor.
I got a powdered sugar guy.
And I'm like, that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
And the camera guy, he started laughing. I could see him. He goes like this. Oh, and he just dips. Just barely dips.
You weren't supposed to see
him. And catches his cock. And so, but it happened so fast that I was like, I wasn't sure if I saw it. And it was on film, so you couldn't really see it. You couldn't go back and look at it. So a month later, we're down in New York watching the dailies. And we're sitting right next to each other. And I remember seeing it for the first time. I didn't say anything out loud. But in my head, I was like, oh, my God, you're fucking dick, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't say anything. He's just like...
Did you not notice?
Well, it's an outtake. Right? It's like, that's a camera mistake. Oh. So we're not using that. We're not using that.
Oh, brother. We're in for some pain.
Because, you know, like, also, if you knew you do, like, you put nude garments in these days.
But slap it around a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, fucking blood going.
It's cold water.
At least a mayoral handshake.
No question. No question.
I would have done, like, a stress ball thing. No question. Just to get blood in it.
No question.
We watched the other 5 takes. There's no dick in it because the guy got it right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's watch that first one again. And I freeze it. And I'm like, there it is. Yeah. And he goes, we're not showing my dick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hear me out. And
crazy bitch.
I had two arguments. The first one was, we make R-rated movies. We show naked women. We show drugs. If we don't show your dick, should we just make the movie PG-13? And he goes, we're not showing my dick. And I'm like, Okay, but we're Democrats, right? We're open-minded.
And we're progressive people.
Yeah, we don't share a dick. Should we just join the Republican Party? And I won the argument. But he said, okay, we show my dick this time. Next time, we're showing your dick.
Right. Which is, by the way, the I'll pick up dinner now, you're buying next time.
Yeah.
Guess who never buys next time? The guy that buys you
right,
buy dinner.
Right, is true because you didn't trade it. But what we did was, because we decided to write. So in Club Dread, there's a scene where there's a dick tuck scene.
Yes.
Okay, where like...
I know what
he tucks it. He's telling a horror story, and it's about a guy gets dick cut off, and the punchline is, and he's got no dick, and he stands up, and he's got his dick tuck. And Soder, too, the one of the other guys. T-E-R.
Shout out my brethren.
Yeah. And...
Terrible
dad. Do you guys call him Soder?
Yeah.
You guys go on by his last name?
Last name, yeah. Last name guy.
I love that so much.
You're a last name guy, right?
Yeah, I mean... Yeah. Dude, my senior year of high school, I was at one of my best friend's graduation parties, and his sister that I've known forever goes, your name's Daniel? And I go, hey, it's Daniel Soder. Yeah. And she goes, no, you're Soder.
Yeah. You're so dur.
I'm so dur.
Yeah.
My name means south in Swedish. Okay. I don't know what his name
He's
is.
He's like Czechoslovakian or something.
Something like that. Fucking white. Some flat-nosed white.
Yes.
Like
that. Yes.
Some flat white.
Known him for all these years. I have no idea.
He is. He's like Yugoslavian.
Yeah,
or
right.
Yeah. So you're saying Soder.
Or something.
Soder saw it?
Well, no. So Soder also was next to him. So both of them had to tuck their dicks. And so that was like what they used as their... You know, okay, we're even now, which is bullshit.
It is bullshit. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
So then he writes, we're making Beer Fest, and he goes, like, we're just shooting some other scene. He goes, I have an idea for a new scene we could shoot right now. He goes, your character got so drunk last night, he wakes up nude next to a dead deer he's eaten in the night. It's homage to American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
That guy was nude. You got to be nude. I'm like, no problem. But, I'm in charge, right? So I kept my ass in the camera. Dick. You never saw my dick.
Yeah, and I love that. You go, I'm controlling the shot. There's no penis ass. In it.
There's a lot of ass.
Oh, that is so... You know what it feels like when you try to... When you're upset at your wife and you try to pick a fight, but you don't have a good reason to?
Yeah.
You're mad about something else and you have to be like, you didn't close the freezer. And she's like, what the fuck is this? That's like you going like, I'm going to show your dick.
It's your turn.
And then in Slammin' Salmon, which he directed, springs it on me. He goes, I think your character...
Oh, right.
Nuts is so crazy, he waits tables nude from the waist down. I'm like, no problem.
And we did it.
But I kept my ass to the camera, he never saw my dick. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So,
but you had a waiter thing, like just cover your balloon knot.
As a waiter, that's a classic. If you've ever waited tables and if you've never seen the Slammin' Salmon, it's like mandatory watching if you've ever worked in the service industry.
Good. Yeah, because
you guys hit a lot of shit in that movie that only waiters know.
These guys, I know, wait, but you waited tables for me, and Steve Lemmy had waited tables. And so a lot of it were the stories
but you could tell because you go, that happens.
Yeah.
Because like with the movie Waiting, they had like certain thing, like the girl that's really nice and then she goes in the back. There's small stuff like that that you only pick up when you see people get slammed with a full section, not handle it.
Yeah.
And then fucking flip out.
Yeah.
But the thing that I loved is because I was always obsessed with restaurants owned by former athletes table to table. Yeah. And so when you guys came out with that, I was like, this is great.
Because that was the whole premise that, like, what if you worked at a restaurant owned by Mike Tyson and he's fucking insane? And you thought you would die every time you
did. And it's great.
So you waited tables for a long time?
A long time.
In the city or what?
In the city, I did it for 5 years. But before that, I was a busser from like 14 until.
Okay.
Like 19.
Okay.
And then I waited tables for 5 years in the city.
Like high end or what? Like what kind of a restaurant would you be in? Seafood?
It was Mexican.
Okay.
All the waiters were white, so it clearly wasn't authentic.
Okay.
And it was overpriced. We sold $14 guacamole.
Okay.
And it was just like you're trying to get businessmen to drink $12 Patron margaritas.
Right.
That's like what you were trying to do.
Okay.
And it was just like New York City waiting tables. You are among actors and creatives who don't want to be doing this. So they find creative ways to get out of doing side work.
Sure.
A lot of dramatic thing where they go, I can't shovel ice. I hurt my back. And you go, well, we have 3 bars and they need to be stocked.
Uh-huh.
When did you get to quit waiting tables? Did you go from waiting tables to making movies? Like directly?
I went from waiting tables to working for this film lawyer, who ended up selling our films and then became our lawyer.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
That you were working for him?
I was his assistant. Because I kind of sniffed out that he was one of the main guys at Sundance. And I got a job working for him.
We're waiting tables, bro.
That's right.
That's fucking brilliant.
Wait, can I ask you one waiting table question?
I'm sincere with that because that's like fucking brilliant. Yeah. You go, oh, this guy's the guy to work for and I could fucking...
Yeah.
Can I ask you one just to go back?
Yeah.
When you would say the names of the dishes, would you put a little extra Spanish accent on it?
Yeah.
Was that one of your things?
Like the pescado vera cruzano?
Yeah, but like throw.
I wouldn't do local news. Yeah. I wouldn't do like the habaneros.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that.
okay.
Because I was friends with all the, they weren't even Mexican, the Puerto Rican and Dominican bus boys.
Yeah.
And so if they heard me do that, they'd be like.
Yeah, but you're trying to be authentic.
Yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
The funniest one I ever saw.
Yeah.
The funniest thing involving like mispronunciation of anything. It was right in Midtown. It was on 50th and 3rd. We had a lot of rich people from the Upper East Side come. We had a lot of people. It was a trendy restaurant. It was very, back when I was there in like 07, it was trendy. And this woman came in with her kid. I only did lunches so I could do stand up at night. And I'm doing this lunch and this woman doesn't make eye contact with me. Complete Upper East Side wife, will not look at me.
Sure.
I do the whole meal. Her kid has sparkling water. What kind of kid likes sparkling water? Only rich kids like sparkling water. That's weird. Give me soda or nothing, you fucking weirdo. You want seltzer, fucking dork?
You offered us a seltzer when we came in here. I'm so glad I picked the flat water.
You're a grown man.
That was a test.
If you had a six-year-old with him, I'd offer him a Sprite or a Shirley Temple.
Sure.
Yeah. I wouldn't offer him a seltzer.
Okay, yeah. Okay, good.
We can't be having high fructose corn syrup at our age. But I dropped the dessert menu.
Okay.
And I walked back to the table and I asked what kind of dessert. And there was a dessert on the menu named after the region of Mexico, Oaxaca.
Okay.
It was called a Oaxacan chocolate mousse cake, right? Okay. And it's spelled O-A-X. Oaxaca is like, Spanish. And I go to the table and I go, anything look good? And she was like, he'll have sorbet. I want the Oxycontin chocolate mousse cake. And I went, I don't think that's how you say it. And I think it's Oaxacan chocolate mousse. And she goes, oh. And you go, damn, you like pills. just like 07 before they even found out Oxycontin was bad. And I was laughing about that all the way back to the computer. Shit, I go, this bitch is high.
That's great.
Yeah. We'll have the Oaxacan chocolate mousse.
The Oxycontin mousse.
She said it so confidently that I was like, damn, you bang probably. I go, what are you on, 40 milligrams?
She's trying to impress her kid.
Yeah. Her kid is it. You guys are fucking awesome. I was so excited to meet you guys because of all the shit you've made. You're hilarious. You guys, you know, for those that don't know, sometimes you get people that are like this and they come with a whole crew. It was just Kevin and Jay just showing up at the door and you're like, this
is... Yeah, we went to the wrong building first.
Oh, you did? Yeah, you went to the office.
Yeah, the A building.
Yeah, that's...
You guys are like, not here, man. Over there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Super Troopers 3... The trilogy, the third one in theaters, August 7th. Go see it in theaters. Comedies are in theaters. Go back. It's fun to watch a comedy in a theater and laugh with people.
Yeah.
And fucking enjoy it.
Smoke a joint. Go meet your friends.
Yes.
Watch a movie.
People don't do it anymore. Go laugh at
it. It's so fun.
Yeah.
We've been doing these big screenings and it's like, people are like, holy shit, I forgot what it's like to sit with 300 people and laugh at a movie together.
It's a community.
Yeah, it's great.
Can I plug my stand-up show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, bro, do it.
A special coming out on Veeps.
Do
on
it.
August 20th.
August 20th on Veeps, the full special. Sign up. I'm sure it's just like...
It's called Brown Supremacist.
I love that. Take it back, bro. Be supreme. Be brown supreme. You guys fucking rule. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good. Absolutely.
It's fun.